Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome. It is Friday. Yes, another week has come and gone. It is Friday, September the 11th, 2020. I don't know the age range of folks that are tuning in this morning, but it's hard to believe that the original, well, not the original September 11th, but September 11, 2001, how has 19 years gone past? 19 years. And do you remember the aftermath of September 11th, 2001? Remember things like congressmen, Democrats and Republicans, and I don't know if there were any independents involved. I don't think that there were. But nevertheless, congressmen, congresspeople, standing on the state or on the national capitol step singing God Bless America. I remember every store started selling things with the American flag, and boy, that was a nice 15 minutes, wasn't it? Maybe, depending on how you look at it. Certainly not September 11th, but the unity that came about afterwards, or the perceived unity. But I think that what we saw all those years ago, 19 years ago, was a ruse. I think that it shines a painfully bright light on the fact that patriotism is not enough, and that patriotism doesn't last. Really and truly, what has made our nation the nation that it is, and why we are here today, is God's grace. I think the reason the American Revolution worked out the way it did was because of a profound faith in not only Jesus Christ, but in the sovereignty of God and in man's responsibility. And I think that very sadly that is missing. I think it's been missing for a long time. And I think what happened after September 11th, 2001, people actually coming together, it was nice, but it was temporary for the sake or for the fact that our relationship is not where it ought to be with the Lord. And so to that end, it's hard to look back, isn't it? It's hard for me to look back. I think of all the things that have happened in 19 years. How for a very short time it seemed as though we were united as a nation, but then very shortly thereafter, things started to come apart. And now, just look at the world around you. Look at the United States today. We are anything but unified. In fact, probably not for the last 150 years have things been so divided in our nation. And there's only one thing that I believe can unite us and will unite us, and that is Jesus Christ. To that end, where we come to today in the Gospel according to John is appropriate. Yesterday, we started the Gospel according to John. If you didn't join us yesterday, we just got through four verses, and we started this section that I referred to as the prologue, right? Many people refer to John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18 as the prologue, where really John begins his grand work. And what is that? I think it's his grand work of both identifying and presenting Jesus the Christ. Remember, Christ is not Jesus' last name. Christ is simply Jesus' title. But I think that John does this because of how John ends, or towards the end of his gospel. He says something really important here. If you go all the way to the end of John, not quite the end, John chapter 20, verse 30, it says, Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Then we have an interesting section in John 21 that we will get to eventually. I think it's fascinating and it's very telling. But nevertheless, I think that John says those things because he's really showing his hand here. He's showing us what he intends to accomplish through this gospel. Yes, it is a history. Yes, it shows us the events of Christ's life. Very true. But the overall point of what John is seeking to do through writing this gospel, and I know that God breathed it out through him, it's this grand mystery of divine inspiration, yet human authorship, but what John is seeking to do is tell us about this man named Jesus. That he was not only a man, but he was indeed the Christ. And we talked about that a little bit yesterday because John chapter 1 begins with the beginning. And I don't mean just like Jesus was born in Bethlehem. No, not that. He doesn't even start with genealogies. He goes back to the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And verses 1 through 4 spark pretty much all of the fascination of the early church, and for good reason, because the early church was trying to figure out who Jesus actually was. And there's a good reason they were trying to figure out who Jesus actually was, because they were dying for him. And they wanted to know if their faith was properly placed in Jesus Christ. And so out of John 1, particularly 1 through 4, came all sorts of discussions and church councils for hundreds of years over who Jesus really is. And who we affirm Jesus really is in Orthodox Christianity, not just Presbyterian, but in Orthodox Christianity, Jesus is God the Son, the person of the Trinity from all creation. I almost said the second person of the Trinity, but I don't want to present a hierarchy. There is something referred to as the economy of the Trinity and how the Trinity functions. And we're getting into a can of worms here, but we affirm that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Okay? Separate person, same substance. Right? That's what we affirm. Now, interestingly enough, I said we'd get into this a little bit today. If you want to see where almost every cult comes from, really and truly, almost every cult that is associated with Christianity, it begins with a misunderstanding of John 1, 1 through 4. It doesn't matter if you're talking about Mormons or Jehovah's Witnesses or Christian Scientists. Christian Scientists is what a contradictory term there, neither Christian nor scientist, but nevertheless, I digress, right? It's a misunderstanding of this business in John 1:1. By the way, the Mormons handing out free Bibles, if you've ever read the Mormons' translation of John 1:1, it's butchered to pieces. They make arguments from the Greek, and they're quasi-plausible. But even if you take out John 1:1, the idea that Jesus clearly is the Word spoken about here, that he was with God and he was God. Even if you take that out, you still got to do something with all the statements of Jesus indicating that he is God. Fast forward to John chapter 8, for instance. When he's dealing with the Pharisees, he says, "Before Abraham was, I am." Y'all, you can't get any more specific, any more clear than what Jesus said. He was talking to a group of Jews here, and he invoked the name of God himself. This is why they started ripping their beards out and that kind of thing. And they tried to kill him right then and there. So the idea that Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses have, amongst others, that Jesus never really claimed to be God. Come on, y'all. Let's get real about things. Jesus, not only Jesus, but John himself. Jesus certainly claimed to be God. I and the Father are one. The list goes on and on and on. The New Testament church worshiped Jesus as God. When the rich young ruler came to Jesus and said, "Good teacher," Jesus said, "Why do you call me good? No one's good but God." Hello! Again and again, there are countless references where Jesus confirms the fact that he is divine. And not divine as in good, but divine as in a person of the Trinity. One of the three in one. Okay? So let's not be coy about it. Let's not make any mistakes about it. John 1 through 4, or John 1, 1 through 4, is of critical importance to understanding who this Jesus is. And yet, so is verse 5 and following. Today we come to verse 5, and I only want to talk about verse 5 today. Today's devotional is going to be rather short, because it has to do with one verse alone. And it says, John 1, verse 5, it says, "The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it," in my translation. I've got the 1984 NIV. I love reading from it, but this is not a terribly good word here. A better translation is, "The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not overcome it." There's two key things that we need to realize about this verse. The first thing is, and this is your devotional thought for today. Remember, this is a devotional time. This is not a Bible study, so we're not wringing everything out like we could. I have no doubt that as I go through the Gospel of John, you will say to yourself, well, I wonder why I didn't bring that up or didn't bring this up. Y'all, if we really wrung the Gospel of John out in a Bible study format, I don't know that I'm going to live long enough to do that fully, okay? It would take years and years and years to do that. So, this is your devotional thought for today. But two things ought to jump out at us from chapter 1, verse 5 of John. The light shines in the darkness. Consider how John, who is writing this, yes, but God, who is breathing this out through him, consider John, more importantly, consider God's assessment of the world. The light shines where? In the darkness. My friends, we live in a beautiful world. A world that is full of wonder. A world that I think is full of magic, because I don't think everything can be confined to our measure of reasoning. And call me a fruitcake if you want to, that's fine. But we live in a world full of wonder, a world full of amazement, a world that has quite a lot of beauty. I've been a lot of places in my 39 years. I've seen a fair amount of the world. And there's no doubt about it. It's spectacular. And furthermore, God's Word testifies to the fact that the physical beauty of this world testifies to the Lord's greatness. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. And that's just one example. Romans talks about the world groaning as it awaits redemption and all of these things. I'm not denying the beauty of the world around us. But there is a darkness to the world. It's in creation. You can see the echoes of it in creation. The fact that we live in a world that even in its creation, not talking about humans, but in creation itself, it strives against itself. It is a hard world. It's hard to be a wild animal. One would have you think that we live in a world full of beauty alone, and nature would be just great if it wasn't for us human beings ruining things. Y'all, most of the time people that say that have never seen how animals live and what animals do to one another, okay? I digress then. The darkness specifically that's being referenced here, I believe, is the darkness that sought to overcome the light. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not overcome it, is a better translation here. The darkness, of course, I believe, is the darkness of sin. The fact that we live in a world full of sin. And this sin is not neutral. Do you realize that about sin? Y'all, sin does not stay the same. We might fool ourselves into thinking that because it gives us greater comfort about the sin that we're engaged in. But sin is never neutral. It is either dealt with or it grows. And it grows and it grows and it becomes consuming. I think it was John Owen who said, be assured or be killing sin or sin will be killing you. He was so right about that. And what I want to point out to you for the sake of your devotional thought today is both the darkness of the world, but also the fact that the darkness of the world is not neutral. That the darkness of the world is striving. The darkness of the world seeks to overcome the light. For truly, just as the Word was spoken in John 1:1, the Word that is being spoken of here, the Logos, is talking about Jesus. So is verse 5, the light shines in the darkness. The light being referenced here is Jesus. We know that because if you continue down, and we'll get to this next week, there came a man from who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He only came as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. Most clearly, this is talking about Jesus. But getting back to verse 5, realize, number one, the darkness of the world around you. And realize, number two, the striving nature of that darkness. I've kind of gotten into it already. But the striving nature of the darkness in the world around us is not content to coexist. It's not content to live and let live. The striving darkness in the world around us is part of that great yearning to destroy the church. It's part of those gates of hell that seek to prevail against the church. And when I say the church, I don't mean the buildings, y'all. I mean the people of God. Those who are trusting in Jesus Christ alone for their salvation. And the reason I stay on this today, and the reason I think it's so important to understand this, is this, John 1:5, the way that you interpret it really affects the way that you look at every single thing in life. Now, by recognizing the dark, you're not admitting that everything is a boogeyman, you're not living in fear, it's not that. But it's a recognition of the world that we actually live in. It's a recognition of things like 9/11, 2001. That the reason things like that happen is not because somebody was pushed. It's not because of a cartoon that was written. It's not because of a hatred of freedom. Is it not? No, y'all. Ultimately, the reason that tragedies happen is because of the darkness of human hearts. This darkness that was striving against the light. It's you and me, naturally, in and of ourselves. Apart from Christ. Without Christ, we are the darkness that is striving against God. We are the darkness that seeks to overcome, that seeks to extinguish the light. And that's important for how you look at the world around you, yes. But it's also important for how you examine your own faith and your own calling. You see, if the world is not one of darkness seeking to overcome the light, first off, you're not going to be ready to deal with the world. And you'll be overcome. Or at least the world will do everything it can to overcome you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And God will be exercises graciousness toward us. But nevertheless, you'll be woefully unprepared in how to navigate life. But also, if you do not realize the darkness of the world around us, then how will you see the need to spread the light? Because you see, that's the thing that's unsaid here. In a world full of darkness, the light shines nonetheless. And do not forget what the Lord has called you to be if you are a follower of Jesus Christ. What the Lord has called me to be. Has he not called us to be lights in the world? But again, if you don't see the world for what it is, then not only will you not be able to understand things like 9/11, 2001, not only will you be unprepared for the challenges that you face in the world and perhaps be fooled, be tricked, be overwhelmed, also, your focus will be off. Because you see, recognizing the world as one of darkness, one of striving darkness, is not about being a pessimist. It's not about being gloomy. We can have great joy in this. It's about being real. And y'all, on a day that is supposed to be about remembrance for us as a nation, right? Remember 9/11, never forget. Boy, a whole lot of people have forgotten. Why? I think there's lots of different reasons. I think the fact that everything has been politicized. Everything has been politicized. Aside from that, I think one of the reasons that we're so prone to forget as a nation, as a world around us, is because we're not real about the darkness that's out there. Or if we do ever talk about darkness, we reduce it to things like politics and people that disagree with us. If we do that to determine who the darkness is, then guess who is the real light? Oh, it's you and me. It's whatever we think. And that ain't true. Y'all, the light is Jesus. It shines in the darkness. And as a follower of Christ, if you are indeed, and I hope that you are, you have been called to shine in the darkness. That's your devotional thought for today. I don't mean to be negative. I'm not trying to be negative. Don't read it that way. But we got to get real about what we're facing out there. As it's 9/11, and as we remember 9/11, 2001, I hope that you will do that with prayer, praying for our nation. As I said many times, what we need is the Lord. It's not about politics. It's not about policy. It's not about any number of things. We've got to turn back to the Lord. So dedicate today Pray for our nation. Pray for those who are undergoing oppression. Pray for those that are persecuted around the world. And know that even though things look dark, and indeed they are, the light always wins. The light will blaze forth, because a time is coming when everything that is wrong is going to be made right. The darkness sought to overcome the light, but it was not able, nor will it ever be able. Let's pray. Our Father, I thank you for this time that you've given us this morning. Just this one short verse that if we misunderstand it or if we misapply it, it changes everything. It changes our whole outlook of existence. Yet, Father, despite the darkness, you sent your Son and our Savior, Jesus. The darkness that would seek to overcome him, you sent him just the same, and he came in all of his boldness and beauty and conquered the darkness. Yet even so, battles are still raging. The war has been won, but battles are still going on. Help us to be real about what we face, and help us to trust in you, all the while seeking to be the lights that you have called us to be. I pray all of these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, I'd like to thank you for being a part of this time with me this morning. Lord willing, we'll be back Monday morning at 7 o'clock for our devotional. If you are so inclined, we would love to have you join us for worship online. That will be Sunday morning at 9 a.m. We'll be live streaming on here, and that'll be on sermon audio probably around 10:30 or so. But again, I'd like to thank you for joining me this morning. Good morning, Alice and Roni and Monica and Christine and Terry and Stacy. And amen indeed, Jean. Tammy, your morning booster shot. Well, me too. Me too. Remember that this is not about me sitting on my high pedestal and lecturing you all. I need this more than y'all do. So you're welcome, Tammy. And Terry, thank you so much for your kind words. Happy great day, or have a great day to you as well. And Mike, amen. Yes, indeed. Thank the Lord. To God alone be the glory. Hopefully I'll see you either Sunday morning, and if not Sunday morning, then Monday morning. Sunday morning at 9, Monday morning at 7. Have a great weekend.